The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 9th, 2015, and before we get into anything today, I want to get everybody. We've got a great ebook out there called The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. It's free. All you got to do is go out and put your email address in it. And I've got Will Dinwiddie on with me today, and if you heard Will and I before, he and I get very simplistic about things, and you don't need a lot of things going on when you're trying to get to some destination with what you want to achieve, all right? If you go out, it's 10 paragraphs that just make you think, commit to something, and act. That's, you take action. That's what you got to do. Everything else, man, you can bring in. But if you don't have those ingredients, you're not going to get anywhere. So that's the first thing. Second of all, don't forget, Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111, and Hearts Collision here. This is for New York State residents. You can call them at 518-477-7937. Geez, I want to make sure I got that right. I don't want to screw that up. Also, too, we've talked about, I've got the two products that are about ready to launch, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. They are life-changing, and there's tons of content, chock full of stuff. You can do anything you want with these things. Obviously, Strength Times Power is all shot in HD with me narrating it. The majority of the exercises, in fact, everyone, is what I used to knock 43 pounds of body fat off. Dennis, we took him from 267 to 224 in 6 months. He was pre-diabetic, et cetera, et cetera. The Winner's Circle is all audio. You get 12 audio pieces that are 27 to 34 minutes, and you can trace everything that I've been doing, what I'm up to, routines, things you can plug in. You can take pieces of it, et cetera, et cetera. Take a chance on yourself. We don't throw any shit here. Everything is authentic. So I'm not giving you anything that I don't do. So that's a big thing right there. Also, don't forget about sponsorship. It's $500 a month, but you get 5 to 15 podcasts a week. And it goes a portion of that to muscular dystrophy, which you all know that both sites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who died of that disease. And that was a rotten way, man, let me tell you. But the $30 goes to flu shots. I want everybody to know where it went because they are so susceptible to colds now that it's very cool here in the Northeast. That's what killed my brother. He got pneumonia just from a common cold. They couldn't do anything. They did everything they could, and he passed away. But I know he's with us. And I know he's watching over all of us, man. And I know he's with me every day. And that's what I really give a shit about. So just remember stuff like that. We can do that. Let's grow together. We're going to be over a million strong, I promise you. And I'm going to be around for a long time. So let's get this big thing going. Chris Bigelow does everything here, monsterdevelopment.com. You can call him at 800-687-1609. Well, today we have a regular monthly guest, Will Dinwiddie, who I was talking to him offline. I really admire this guy a lot. I mean, this guy is a champion in everything he does. And if you're out on Facebook, you know, go out and just read some of the stuff he puts out there, some of the people he admires, some of the speakers, the motivational speakers. But one thing I told Will, like this, Will's no bullshit, man. It's like I read his stuff. I talk to him online, offline. It's like this guy's the real deal. This is a guy you should be emulating. This is a guy that kids should be emulating. This is a guy that's got the formula, and it's none of this 90-day bullshit or this, that, and the other thing, or nobody telling you you can't, you cannot, all this shit. So I just want to give you a little background on Will. Will owns Epic Fitness Solutions. I believe he is out in Oregon. He's a strong man. He just recently he entered arm wrestling and took the whole enchilada there. He's a trainer, and I mean, you got to go out and look at his site. You got to look at his gym, man. This guy is just equipped from end to end. So Will, come on in and give us a little bio on yourself, and we're going to talk about, this is going to be part two of Cultivating Your Dreams. We did one last month, and it just hit the roof, man. Everybody's into it. So, Will, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Just give us a little, you know, tell everybody a little background on yourself, and we'll get fired right into the show.
All right, sure, no problem. My background is I'm a trainer. I own Epic Fitness Solutions. It's a gym that I created here in Springfield, Oregon. I'm a multi-strength sport champion. I compete in strongman, powerlifting, Highland Games, Moss Wrestling, arm wrestling, and what else? There's another one. Let's see, Highland Games, arm wrestling, Moss Wrestling, powerlifting, strongman. Oh, yeah, I've done bodybuilding, too. And I've won in all those sports, and I just recently won a few weeks ago the amateur arm wrestling world championships in the 220-pound weight class. I went undefeated in both hands, and we talked about that actually in the last video when we, or the last podcast, about I was preparing for the world championships, and I was telling you about how I felt really confident left-handed, but I wasn't sure right-handed. I was hoping to just win a couple matches right-handed, but I really felt confident about my left-hand ability. And so before this even happened, I predicted that I would win the left hand. Yep. I had a good chance at winning the left hand. And then, you know, I feel like it was like destiny or something divine, but when I went there and I went undefeated in both hands, I'm still kind of in shock. I still can't believe I did it. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, what we talked about last time about cultivating your dream, I trained hard, you know, like I trained to win and I trained my mind to win, you know, like, and not just my body was conditioned, but my mind was conditioned to go in there and do whatever it took to win, you know, to believe mm-hmm. that every person that I put my hand on the table and I went against that I was going to beat them, you know? And so I kept that confidence, and every match, and it worked out to my advantage. In fact, I didn't even have one match that was a struggle. I mean, I went through everybody. So, I mean, and then I competed as a pro, as a heavyweight pro, 6 days later. Of course, I didn't win a match there. That was mostly because I wasn't recovered. Mm-hmm. But I did, my first match, I did have a good pull against a guy that I've wrestled before, but, you know, he used to stomp me before, but then I stopped his hit. Instantly from the very beginning, I just didn't have enough left in me to finish the day strong. So, but I'm coming back, and I got a heavyweight professional contest next month, the middle of the month next month. And so my goal for that, you know, we'll probably talk about this again, but my goal for that is to win at least one or two matches as a heavyweight pro. It's a lot different in the pros than it is in the amateurs, but the goal is to win at least one to two matches, and I believe that that's going to happen. But, you know, just, you know, there's some really tough guys, and everybody's excellent as a pro. Every pro that you take on is like taking on a world champ. It's like taking yourself on, you know what I'm saying? Yep. And it's like you're going against somebody else who believes in themselves just as much as you believe in yourself, and people that train just like you train. And so it's a lot better. I feel like it's a lot better challenge because it brings out even more of your best during your training, during your mental preparations, and when you're in the match, when you get your hand on the table.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, for anybody that's scratching their head right now, and obviously, you know, they know that, you know, you're into everything. You've done pretty much everything. You've won everything you've set in there. And we'll get on to the mental thing, but let's just talk about arm wrestling right now. So say we've got some people that have been lifting, good athletes. Maybe they've won a few events. Maybe not. Maybe they just like training outside and kicking ass all over the place and being mm-hmm. quiet about it. How does somebody start with arm wrestling? You know, take us through like just what are you mainly doing to strengthen the body for this movement? Obviously, I'm sure I've seen the tables in your gym and all that, and obviously you are doing the contest, the event work there on the table. But what else before we get into the big mental end?
Yeah, the what, 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 do you, what?
Yeah, what would you tell somebody that says, okay, I like what Will's talking about. I think I'm going to give a shot at arm wrestling. What would you do? What would you
okay.
tell
them? Well, the first thing I would do, and I've had – now, this has actually happened to me. I've had people asking me, hey, I'm interested in arm wrestling. I've had some pro athletes, professional powerlifters private message me and be like, hey, I'm interested in doing some arm wrestling. What should I do? How do I get started? And basically, since I'm so into all the gym life, I know all the pros around the country, basically I find out what state that this individual is in, and I figure out what pros or what buddies of mine that are arm wrestlers are in that state, and I link them up with them, because the first thing you need to do if you're going to get into a sport like arm wrestling is you need to find somebody that knows how to arm wrestle, because you need to learn how to pull correctly. It doesn't okay. matter how strong your arms are, because Hapthor Bjornsson lost. He's 440 pounds, and he lost to a 220-pound Devin Lloret. 6 foot six, Devin Lloret at 220. That's like me weighing 180.
Yep.
You know, like so. I mean, you have to learn how to pull, and so it's not as much about how much weight you can curl. It's about how you curl it and the force and the direction that you're pulling the curl. So mm-hmm. a lot of arm wrestlers do a lot of hammer curls, but that's because those are top rollers. Those are guys that practice the top roll. There are other arm wrestlers that practice a different form of curling with different kind of arm wrestling specific pieces of equipment, like a gully grip or like a rolling thunder, for example. You could use a rolling thunder to develop your hook grip if you were doing like cable work with with those pieces of equipment, but.
Yep.
Really, to be a good arm wrestler, you have to link up with other people that know how to arm wrestle. To figure it out on your own, it will take you probably five times as long to figure it out, because you'll have to go to tournaments and you'll have to lose enough matches and talk to enough pros there to figure out how to pull correctly. But if you're not practicing pulling correctly, it doesn't matter how much strength training you're doing, you still won't be any good. To be good at arm wrestling, because I was really strong when I started a year and a half ago, so I've excelled very quickly in the sport. But I also had 17 years at that or 18 years at that point of strength training already. And so with the last year and a half, I just basically learned how to arm wrestle by practicing every week arm wrestling and I was fortunate the first 6 months I got to practice with a pro. And he beat me every arm wrestling practice. He would beat me for 2 or 3 hours straight. but I learned how to pull, and I learned how to make my tendons stronger, because arm wrestling is not arm strength. It's wrist and elbow tendon strength. It's like hand strength. It's like you have to develop strong wrists and elbows, to be good arm wrestler. 'Cause you'll see some of the best arm wrestlers in the world. Like, for example, the greatest arm wrestler in the world, John Berzink. If you look at his arms, really the only thing impressive about the guy's arms is his forearm and his hand, but his upper arm is small. It's not, his upper arm is not huge. I think his upper arm is around 18 inches. That's the same size as my arm. It's not huge, but his forearm is like 16 and a half inches.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not the hugest form, because you don't, it's, well, again, arm wrestling isn't about being the biggest, because I've beat guys that are 400 plus pounds, you know, like, it's not about being the biggest, it's about knowing how to arm wrestle. And a lot of guys do a side to side, they think it's a side pressure, or like a sideways, like, I'm going to take you to the side. It's not a sideways movement at all. It's actually, you have to learn how to pull the other person's hand toward yourself. So you're like rowing the hand toward your chest as you pull it down toward the pad. And you keep your, there's so much technique involved that,
right.
You know, you have to link up with an actual arm wrestler if you're going to be any good. If you want to just compete, just to try it out, you can find you can just Google arm wrestling tournaments or arm wrestling competitions on Google, and you can find something relatively close to you to try out. But if you expect to be any good, you have to train arm wrestling specific.
So some of the movements, a lot of thick bar or a lot of wrist roll.
I do, and I believe that that's why I've excelled so well, because I use the 2-inch handle and the 3-inch handle items that I have at my gym. Because I don't have another pro that I can, because the guy that I used to arm wrestle with hurt himself, and so he hasn't been able to arm wrestle with me, He was my regular training partner, Tom Links, and then he got hurt, so I couldn't train with him anymore. And so the next closest guys are all around 2.5 to 3+ hours drive away from me. I'm not gonna. I can't do that every week. It's just not. It's just not. I can't drive 5 to 6 hour total drive time to train for 2 hours every single week. It's just not. I do it every month, but I don't do it every week. So the weeks that I don't have somebody hard to, like somebody big or at my level to train with, I train with girls. And so you might think, well, how is he getting stronger training with girls? Because I have developed techniques and ways that these girls can. I can train with one girl and have another girl grab the top of my hand and pull my arm over with just the leverage. Because if you find the right leverages, you don't need a lot of strength to get a great arm wrestling workout. So sometimes I'll grab my rope, my two inch diameter manila rope, and I'll hold on to that, and then I'll have the girls, you know, because they'll pull the ends of it, which means they're about like 4 feet away from me. So that they don't even need to pull. They can just like kind of hold it there.
Hold it,
And because the leverage is so great, I can get the same kind of arm wrestling workout, the same kind of resistance that I would if I was taking on somebody at my level. So you get smart with learning how to make your training good. But a lot of it is, too, is just the strength training, you know, like using these big-handled items, you know, like a 3-inch diameter handle on a giant dumbbell. I mean, if I can curl that for reps, I know that my hands and wrists are getting strong enough. They don't buckle. They don't bend back on me. You know, and then
what do you do? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
What are
you doing? Are you doing anything specific? You're talking elbow work. What are you doing elbow wise? Or no?
Oh, for the elbow tendons. Well, that comes with taking the pressure. Because in arm wrestling, it's not like a dumbbell where you have a 80-pound dumbbell and the weight is consistent throughout the entirety of the movement. When you're arm wrestling somebody, the pressure changes every moment that you're under pressure with somebody. So you can get there 100%, and then it can fall to 80%, then back up to 100, then back down to 90, then 92, then maybe 75, then back up to 98. You know, so
without a doubt,
the pressure is constantly changing throughout the entirety of the match. And then that constant pressure on the elbows itself, you know, imagine pulling as hard as you could with your arm bent, pulling as hard as you could for like 30 seconds at a time, you know, or maybe a minute sometimes, you know, but your average match, you know, like in training is between 15 and 30 seconds, you know, so you imagine being under that kind of tension, you know, like being in a half squat position and holding that position for 30 seconds with like 500 pounds on your back, your legs and everything you're going to feel that in your tendons and your knees and your hips. So it's the same thing with your arms, you know, like you could do it with a dumbbell too, where you can hold. This is how I do it with when I train people to train on their own.
Yep.
With pull-ups and chin-ups. What you would do with a chin-up to start to feel this pressure that I'm talking about is you would pull and hold your chin above the bar for as long as you could, for 30 to 60 seconds. That's your goal, is to hold your own body weight with your chin above the bar for 30 to 60 seconds. Now, if you get really strong, your goal is to be able to let go with one hand and see if you could do it with one hand, to hold your own body weight with your chin above the bar with one hand for as long as you could. And that simulates the kind of tension that you're going to be under when you're in an arm wrestling match, because you're under a constant heavy tension the entirety of the match. So if you can get good at holding yourself, doing isometric holds for like 30 to 60 seconds, because that's basically what a lot of arm wrestling is. If you can catch that initial hit when somebody slams into you, if you can catch that, or if you can also initiate your own hit, usually if you get two good arm wrestles, they'll catch each other, and then it'll be a grind match to the end, like who's going to be able to technically work it out. You know, who's either going to be stronger, or who's going to have the hand and finger manipulation strength to technically pull somebody over. Because again, a lot of arm wrestling is so technical. It has a lot to do with the knuckles and where they're placed in the middle of a match, where your knuckles are placed, how somebody is pushing against you. If somebody's using a press against you, or a hook or a top roll, you want to not just – the goal in arm wrestling is, for me, is to not be I'm a top roller, but I train to do it all. I train to be good at the press, the hook, the shoulder press, the shoulder roll. I train to be good at it all because you never know what position you're going to be put in when you're arm wrestling somebody, and you're going to need to be strong enough to pull yourself out or put yourself into a better position, because you might top roll somebody that's equally as good of a top roller as you. And if you have a strong wrist, a strong hook, you could reverse the top roll into a hook, and they might not be ready for it. And if you do it fast enough, you could win a match really quickly. But if you're not strong enough in those other techniques, and all you are is a one-trick pony, eventually people will learn how to beat that. So to be a good arm wrestler, you have to pretty much learn how to do every technique, and there's a variation of them all. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. To be good at arm wrestling, you're going to have to develop yourself in all kind of ways. And a lot of arm wrestling also is full body. It's a lot of hand and arm. But when you actually get on a table and you arm wrestle for 2 hours, or you arm wrestle for an hour with somebody, right hand, left hand, you will sweat. I see clients sweating more than they do when I put them through my strongman workouts.
Yep.
they're not used to focusing all that energy into their hand and arm, and they realize that they start to realize how much more of their body and their shoulder and their back and their core is involved, and their legs, learning how to push off the table with their hip, and learning how to use their feet to push off the legs of the table to give them a leverage advantages. Arm wrestling is it's not as hard. It doesn't destroy you like a strongman training day would, but it destroys your arms like what a strongman training does to your body.
Yeah. Well, you know something? We'll get right into, obviously, the mental note of what you had to do with this and talk about it. But I'll tell you something I think that builds the shit out of your forearms, too. And I found this just by doing it with the Hoos of Steel Stones. You got to push your forearm so hard into that thing, because you want to do that, because when you go to Iceland, because of how slippery the Húsafell is there.
You're pushing your arms or pulling your arms?
Yeah, when I pull that up and I bear hug it, that thing is so wide, basically your wrists are bent. You want to talk about having to have strong wrists, because if you don't, you could break a wrist trying to grab that thing and just walk with it, because it's got you in a very strange position. But here's what I found more than anything, and you'll hear me saying it. You'll probably hear me if you watch the video coming up the rest of this year and in the next year, you're going to keep hearing me probably saying, squeeze the forearm, squeeze the forearm. Because when you squeeze those forearms against an 8-inch side of a stone, okay, I'm telling you, you want to talk about tension? Holy shit. I think my forearms have gotten bigger. Just even pulling that thing in the rack with like over 400 on it and locking it and holding it. You know, we're talking about holds, isometric holds, a power rack, how all that stuff, and I do that stuff a ton of times, you know, whether pushing against rods. I'll do with the Húsafell sometimes if I want. I'll crisscross bands, all right? I've pulled that thing so fast, I've hit bands, dropped the stone forward, and fell back on my ass, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, shit like that. All right. But, you know, when we're talking forearms, especially with arm wrestling, I don't know if you've ever done it. If you could find a decent thick stone somewhere, if you got one laying around your place, go out and just do some holds like that and see if you can hold it. Like, all right, just hold it for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds. Watch what your forearms – and don't wrap your forearms around it. Take the cuts, the bruises. I mean, don't mutilate yourself. I won't let myself get to that point. But be able to hurt for a day or two and go out and do it again, Will. I'm telling you, your forearms will look like someone shot them with helium, man. I mean, pump big. But, all right, so, I mean, I just want to tell you that. I mean, I know you're the kind of guy that'll go out and try it. So
I don't know if you saw that 9.5-inch, 335-pound thick H-stone that I got.
I didn't see that.
That concrete H-stone that I got. A buddy of mine had made it. He's a thrower. He's a buddy of mine up in Washington. Anyway, he made this stone like 6 years ago or something like that, and it's only been picked up twice ever, and it's only been moved like 2 or 3 feet. Yeah. So it's basically a virgin stone that's never really been tested. as taken for any kind of real distance. One of my goals is I want to be able to take it for, you know, I want to be able to take this 9.5-inch thick concrete H stone.
Yep.
It's 335 pounds for 100. I want to take it for 50 feet down, 50 feet back, just to get a feel for it. But one of my goals is to be able to hopefully take it for 200 one day. I want to test Mark on it, because Mark took the real 418 pound eight stone for the whole 60 meters, which is 180 feet or whatever, 200 almost 200 feet.
Here's what I'd say. We were talking about the barrels before we came on.
Mm-hmm.
You start spacing barrels with that stone, you'll get it quick as hell, because you're going to be able
to take it from one barrel to the next.
Correct. So you're going to be able to call your distance. I'd say get four barrels, spread your distance, and start doing small chunks like that, and then a little more and a little more, and then you'll space them out more and more. And before you know it, man, you'll be a tank. Seriously.
Right on. I'll work on that.
I came up with a lot of this stuff. I came up with a lot of unique things, man, because a lot of times you got to train alone, and it's really tough when you got those big stones and you're coming down full speed and you got to slap it on a barrel and you hope that – I mean, I've had them go over on the other end because you're coming with such force. How do you slow – you know, like I'm a 300-pound guy. How do you slow a 300-pound guy carrying a 300-pound stone? I mean, I'm gonna run right over you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way you're gonna stop that inertia. So, all right. Well, this stuff gets me too fired up, man. You're gonna get me extremely fired
up. That's what I'm all about, baby. Let's get fired up.
All right. We're cultivating dreams. I mean, this is part two, and I mean, we've really spoken quite a bit to it in the last 26 minutes. This is something that I want to tell you about, and we'll, this really goes with the show. You know that I'm training Al, the 14-year-old, and two weeks ago, you know, here's a kid that never did anything other than, like he says to me, well, I used to do benches with my friends, and I said to him, there's a lot more to life than bench pressing, okay, in this game.
Sure.
And we started him out, you know, with the typical sandbag, the strongman stuff. He's excelled very well at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's put 10 pounds on now in 16 weeks. Now he's not afraid to speak into a camera. He looks at you. He speaks clearly. He explains well. This kid's done a metamorphosis, man, in 16 weeks, okay? And we had him here Saturday, and he was doing all his stuff and everything. And, you know, he broke his record of the trap bar deadlift. He had done 250. He blew 260 off the ground, and I didn't even tell him about this. I said, hey, you know, you look pretty good. Why don't we try 270 and just see what happens? And I put the video out there, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or a week ago. And the first time he went to pull it, it wouldn't move. I mean, it looked like someone had glued it right to the ground. And I said, stand up. I said, I don't want you walking out of that trap bar, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, everybody, this is a kid that's got no background in lifting. This is just what we've done here. And we've got that oversized bar that the Sorens were so kind enough to give to me as a present for Iceland to sponsor me. So it's a big bar, man. I mean, this is, you know, most kids are using the conventional trap bar if they're doing it, or even adults, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I walked up to him, and I just whispered in his ear. I said, you got this thing, man. I said, you've got the confidence to do it. I walked away. I said, get in the crouch and tear it off the ground. Well, the moral of the story is he tore that goddamn bar off the ground like someone had a gun pointed to his forehead, man, and he put it down.
You know what? That's awesome that you say that, because that has been a lot of the way that I have gotten stronger in my life is the mental demands.
Yep.
You have to demand more out of yourself, and when you say that, like – when you describe, you know, like he had a gun pointed to his head, that has been like a lot of the reason why I have excelled so well in strength athletics at this point in my career is because of all the previous years, the almost two decades prior to this of me being that kind of demand, making those kind of demands on myself, where I said, you have to do this or else you're dead. If you don't do this, if you don't push this weight off your chest, it's going to kill you. If you don't push this weight over your head, you're not going to make it. You know, you have to do it, you know, like, and you have to create a situation in your head where if you don't do it, you could die or seriously injure yourself. So what it does is it creates like a hyper focus in your body, and so you become it becomes more of a spiritual way of lifting, where you're getting your whole spirit involved and in tune with every muscle in your body, and you're able to make every muscle in your body react as one to get that weight up. And so with enough practice, that's how you start to develop that one, that strength where you're, and that confidence starts to grow when you develop that full on ability to use all your body as one. You know, what you just said with that kid, you're whispering at him that he can do it. You're giving him you're making him believe things that he may not have believed about himself prior to meeting you. And so,
what I want to do to him too, Will, is I didn't want him to step out of that bar and think.
Yeah. All yes. Because right? if you overthink it, sometimes you talk yourself out of it.
Exactly. And I had him in that mental plane where I didn't let anything drop from him. All right, so what, he didn't pull it off. But what I did to him is I didn't allow him to say, oh, shit, I missed this, I can't get it. What I did to him, I stepped in so fast, he didn't have time to react. He knew that it didn't come up. And now, you know, we're getting ready for a 300-pound pull the week before Christmas, and I know he'll do it. I know, because the way I'm gauging him right now is – we're going up and down, and it's like it's beautiful because every time he is having success with everything he does. And I wrote – I have to do a bunch of emails for the products that are going to go out with a lot of content, and I've got still five more to do. I just finished before we came on writing an email about him, how I've seen this young man that couldn't even look up at you basically – and he would talk kind of down, and I'd be like, what are you saying? I said, look at me. Now, I had to film him Saturday about, you know, talking to his peers about training and the confidence and all that. My God, man, I couldn't shut him up. He's looking at me, and he's speaking so well, and I was like,
now. See the difference? See the difference that you make? See the kind of difference that you make when you yourself get strong and you yourself take on challenges? Like, it's like – like look at the things that you've accomplished and you've decided to change in your life now at this point. You left a good job to pursue something that you really believe in.
Yep.
When you really believe in something, it comes out of your voice. Like that you can,
naturally
you
can, will. Naturally.
Yes, that belief. And so when you believe in yourself and you get around other people that believe in themselves, it makes like when I first started training with Mark. Okay, when I first started training with Mark Wechter, the very first stone session I went and lifted with him, the heaviest stone I'd ever successfully completed in a contest was a 335-pound stone. And this was back in 2013 when I first started training with Mark. My very first time training with him, because I looked up to him so much and I was so impressed with him, when he's not a man of a lot of words at first until you get to know him, and then he likes to talk a lot, but when you first meet him, he doesn't like to talk a lot. He just wants to see what you can do.
Right.
Just being around the presence of someone so excellent in life, especially at something that I was so into and that he's so into, I had a 50-pound PR. I lifted his 385-pound stone or his 384 stone my very first day ever lifting with him. That was a 50-pound PR just merely because of his presence. The strength was always there, and I always believed the strength was there. I just didn't know how to access it. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know how to get to it. And he showed me through a couple of small technical changes that I had made, because I was technically inefficient at the time.
Yep.
He made two small technical adjustments on me that very day, and I scored a 50-pound improvement in my stone. Not because I grew 50 pounds stronger all of a sudden, but because I believed in it myself at first. I just didn't know how to access it. And then with his technical adjustment, he proved to me that I was everything that I believed I was. It was just a technical mistake that I was making. And then also being around somebody so excellent, it made me aspire. I remember that training session. All I wanted to do was I was like, I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it. And if this guy can one motion it, I know I can two motion it. You know, like because he one motioned that very stone in front of me for reps, and I was just like, I was so blown away by that. I was like, oh my God. I was like, all right, this is it. You know what? If he can do that, I can at least lap and load it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so with his, you know, of course, with his technical adjustments, but really, I believe the real reason why, part of the reason why I made that lift, not just because of the technical adjustment, was just because of being around someone that didn't make excuses. He just is all about results. And so he found a way to get the result out of me because he believed that I could do it too. Even though I had never done it before, because he was like, he based it off of like my deadlift. He's like, well, if you can deadlift 700 pounds, you should easily be able to pick up 400 and load a 400 pound stone. If you can front squat 500 pounds, you should be able to do this. And I was like, I know I should be able to do this. I just don't know why I can't. And then the funny thing is every, for the next 2 years straight, every single training session I trained with Mark, I would have a PR, a new personal best. And I was like, how is that possible? And I remember telling Mark, I'm like, I think it's just your presence, man. I think it's just being around you makes me stronger.
Well, you know what it is? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what it is, Will? Seriously? It's the influence that he has upon you. And maybe you don't know it consciously, or maybe you do, because I've had this with older lifters when I train with them. And there's people I really admire coming over here, and I want to be better than my best with anybody like that. But you don't want to let them down. That's what it really comes down to. It's like, you know something, man? Mark is the kind of guy I admire. I want to, you know, I want to lift like him. I want to be great like him with stones. If I can be better than him, I'm going to do it too. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of influence that changes. You know, I see that with Alex. It's like, okay, yeah, I mean, I've been training much longer than him. And if he lasts that long, God bless him. And I hope he bypasses me by millions of weight.
Yes.
That's what I want to see for him. All right, but here's the deal. There's a certain thing, you know, they'll say like auras of people or presence of people, or, you know, when we talk about, you know, what you think about most comes to you, you know, we give off so many things, whether we open our mouths or not. And you can look at it in two ways. I've gone around people that I know are just no damn good. You could feel it. You could feel it was like, it felt like a bolt of lightning hitting me at times. It's like, I don't want to be around this person. Or they open up their mouth and all you hear is, you know, the world sucks. Why are you wasting your time lifting weights? You're going to die probably earlier than me. And and it's like, you know what, man? Have a good life. You know, go live your poison all you want, because then they're the ones that, when you make it yourself, you know, suddenly you got a business that, you know, what we're doing, you know, Jesus, man, you know, the guy's doing great. Look at it looks like he's got this, that, and the other thing. And obviously he's living off some fruits of his success and this and that. And then suddenly they get this idea like, well, that guy's a real asshole. You know, I mean, how did he do it? And I didn't do it and all this. You know what it comes down to, and you see this all the time. It's like, if you spent your time constructively figuring out what you want to do and how you're going to execute whatever you're going to do, follow through, and no matter what happens to you, you have to be willing to keep forging forward, moving, okay?
Yes,
now,
agreed.
The majority of people we know can't do that. Let's be honest with all the listeners out there. You and I have been around long enough, been around a lot of athletes, been around a lot of just regular, good, hardworking people. But let's face it, man, let's tell the truth here. The majority of people are going to talk a good game, but when it comes to doing it, they're not going to do it. And
I could tell you the reason why that is. The reason why that is because it's because of the conditioning. It's their mental conditioning. And I used to be this way too. I used to be jealous of anybody that was stronger than me or bigger than me. I used to be, I used to throw it out and blame steroids and be like, well, they're on steroids and this and that. And then I could just come to realize that it wasn't until I stopped thinking of those things and stopped worrying about other people. That I really started to improve. 5 years ago, when I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore, all of a sudden, 5 years later, in the last 5 years, I've won countless championships. I've started a business. I've created so much more success for myself just because of a mental shift that I decided, you know what? It doesn't matter. You can't – it's one thing to compare yourself to others to try to improve, to go beyond. But it's another thing to compare yourself to others and to break yourself down and be like, well, you're not where you want to be because this guy has this advantage over you.
Exactly.
You know what? That's not going to help you. You have to change your own mental conditioning by realizing that you can only do what you can control. And you can control a lot of things. The main thing you need to control is your own mind and what you decide to believe in. And how are you going to change your mind? You have to start changing the things that you – changing the people that you're around. You got to change the things you listen to. If you're listening to music that's negative, you have to change that. If you're if you're around people that are negative, you have to get them out of your life. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes to be the person that you want to be, because you're the only one that can make that change. And it's hard, because – you're conditioned from the time you're a child all the way throughout school to be a certain way. You're conditioned to be like everybody else. You want to have the frozen backpack like the other girls have their frozen backpack, and you want to have your hair the same way they got their hair, and you want to dress the same way they dress, and wear the same shoes, and wear the same cologne, and all these things. You become lost you become lost because you're trying to be like everybody else. You got to have the good job like so and so has. It's you forget who you are. The way you recondition yourself to find out who you really want to be is you get away from all the negativity, and then you start thinking about – you have to slow yourself down and ask yourself, what do I really want in my life? What do I really want to do? And if you don't know those questions, or if you don't know the answer to those questions, you have to keep asking those questions in refined ways. Like, what is it that I really want to, what is it that I really like to do? Once you figure out an answer to what you like to do, then you ask other questions. Well, how can I do more of that? How can I get paid to do that? What kind of professions get paid to do what I think that I would like to do? If you're an artist, or if you're a intellectual person, or if you're just a physical person, or whatever it is that you, or if you're like a builder or something like that, you want to build things or whatever. You have to think about, like, what is it that I like to do? How can I get paid to do more of the things that I like to do? How can I do more of the things that I like to do? What could I do to improve the things that I like to do? So there's many ways to figure out what your passion is. The biggest thing is that you have to start asking yourself better questions, and you have to start removing anything that doesn't jive with that life, you know, that doesn't work with your life. So if you want to be an athlete and you're around a bunch of people that aren't athletes, you have to no longer hang out with people that aren't athletes. You have to start hanging out with athletes. If you want to be a singer or a musician, you have to start hanging out with musicians and singers and things like that. If you want to be a painter, you have to hang out with other painters. If you want to be a builder, you got to hang around other people that build things. You know, like the only way that you're going to achieve your very best or figure out what that is you got to start asking yourself better questions and removing negativity out of your life. It doesn't mean that, like, and when I say removing negativity, you'll have people close to you, like family members and things like that. It doesn't mean that you completely cut them off and you never speak to them again. What it means is that you remove them out of your life and you keep them a certain distance. So maybe you see them once a week, or maybe you talk to them once a week, or maybe the only time you communicate with them is over the phone, because when you're around them in person, you can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Much tension.
You just start basically separating yourself from all the negativity in your life, keeping it at a distance away from you, and focusing on what it is that you want. So that kid that wants to get strong, he's spending more and more time with you, and the payoff is good for him because he's getting what he wants. And the more and now as he's building his confidence up, he's starting to talk more and look at people in a different way. When he starts, if he starts hanging out with more of the other strong kids in his class, the strong peers, or maybe he is the strongest one, he's going to attract others that want to be like him. And so then he's going to develop himself into beyond what he ever thought possible from the very beginning, because in the very beginning, he just wanted to be stronger for himself. But as time goes on, he's going to end up inspiring other people to be stronger. He's going to end up teaching people how to be strong. And he's also going to continue to improve his own strength levels and go beyond where he may have initially thought, well, if I could just deadlift 300 pounds, everything would be great. One day he's going to be deadlifting 600 pounds, double that. And it's just like the only way these things happen is if you start pushing yourself toward that life, which means, again, you have to rechange your mental conditioning. And that's as simple as repetition. Just like it takes repetition to build your muscle up, or to build that deadlift up, or to build the bench press up, or whatever your lift is. If maybe you're a one lift person to start out with, because again, when I first started, I trained chest and arms exclusively for 6 years straight before I ever did a leg before I started squatting. I didn't start squatting until I had been lifting for 6 years straight doing chest and arm work. Then I got into back and shoulders and leg, and I advanced even further, of course. But whatever you start out as doing, it will evolve into something bigger as time goes on. The important thing is that you just start doing whatever it is that you want to do. That just start and then do it as often as you feel like you can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, this is the thing. People don't realize, they think, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Most stuff, you're always looking at the end result with an athlete. All right, let's be honest with each other. No one's looking at the beginning, middle, and maybe a little bit later in the whole thing before the athlete goes on the field or whatever they're going to do, arm wrestling, stone lifting, et cetera, et cetera. I got news for you. I'll just speak on my end.
Sure.
You go through an awful lot of mental tenacity, and by that I mean this. You're going to get beat on. You're going to beat it back. You're going to have days where you're like, I don't know if I want to do this shit anymore. You're going to have days where I'll do this to the day they put me in the hole. You're going to go through a lot of mental things with yourself, changes. But remember this, if you, and I say this with everything, if your foundation is built on stone and not on sand, you'll always find a way to get it done.
Yes,
and
it might, dude, of
you know,
course,
and,
yes.
And the thing is, Will, it's like this. I got into this with I don't remember who it was. It might have been Carolyn Johnson who was on here. And I believe that, you know, when we talk about the universe is out there for our pleasure. People don't realize. They always think, oh, the world's so terrible. Woe is me. I got news for you. Keep putting out good things like I can, I will, I am that I am, things of that nature. You watch what's going to start coming back to you. And I believe totally, and I'm going to go just from my experience of almost 3 years now where I lost a very, very good job, $80,000 a year. And it was at a time, and it still is, and I could have found a job in IT, but the only place that was really offering was to be a consultant and travel all over the United States. I didn't want to do that mainly because a lot of it was family and the kids and all that stuff, and I was like, this isn't what I want to do anymore. I don't belong in a cubicle because I look like – I just look so out of place, man. I like the work. I was very good at it because that's the way I do everything. I go with everything with, you know, teeth right into it, and you don't let go of it like a pity. But I'll tell you what. It can happen for you, and it's happening for me every day. I'm watching the business turn and grow. And people will rate you on how much you're making, and it's like, well, that's not – would I like to be making a lot more right now? Yeah, but it's all coming. But what I'm going to get to with the strands, I believe everything that happens, a lot of times we don't understand what's going on, and I believe there's strands going through us and all through the universe. And at almost 3 years ago, I was very upset, very pissed. You know, you lose all that money, and I had saved money, thank God. And I didn't understand a lot of what the hell was going on with me, and I said, well, I'm going for this dream. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to build two different businesses here that really are one, and we're going to see what happens. And you said it right. You know, certain people, family members, I'm still not very close with, because instead of saying to me, hey, you know, we're proud of you, it was always like, well, why would you give that up? Look at the money you're making. You know, blah, 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 on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
All right?
They don't see your dream. They don't see
it. They don't see it. And they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care, Will. And I'm like this. I'm like, I'm going for it. Well, what if you – here's the first thing. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, I said, would you let me at least plant the seed in the ground before you fucking say it's dead? You know, it's like, here we go. So
what if it does, though?
Exactly. So
what
here's
about
today.
The other side? You know, that's another – that's the side that most people don't think about
they
and
won't
focus
flip
on.
It.
They're like, what if it doesn't work? Yeah, but what if it does?
Yeah,
what if
no
it does,
shit.
And what if you're the one? What if what if you're – like what Les Brown says, you're the one.
Yep.
What if you're the one? You don't even know it. You don't know if you're the one or not until you've tried it and kept trying until it works. So here's the thing. You are the one, dude. Like You yep. are the one to make it work because no one else is doing it like you. You are the difference. You are the special one. But here's the thing. You still have learning to do. Maybe that's
yes.
why you're not at the level of success that you're at. Just like me, you're
yep.
you still have learning to do. You're not
yep.
ready for that level of success yet because you
yep.
still have learning. You still have breakthroughs that you need to go through. So
yep.
you're doing a great job right now, but there's even better for you planned for you in the future. You just have to maintain course. You have to
yes.
stay on course. It's like Eric Thomas talks about, like you got to keep playing until your spot opens up. You're
yep.
it's like when you're playing basketball, you're not always going to get an open shot. If you got to find a way around the defender until you got to keep working to find your way. Once you find your way, once you find your move, you're going to be able to use that move all the time to get around your defender and make the shot. You know
yep.
what I'm saying? You got to keep trying until you figure out what your move is or what your moves are, because one move will turn into two, and you'll create
yep.
multiple moves for yourself. And then you'll also learn how to use your team to your advantage. So it
yep.
won't just be you trying to figure out how do I maximize myself, because once you've figured out how to maximize yourself, you're going to then start learning how to maximize the people around you. How can
yep.
I use my web developer to help me get this going better? How can I use my marketer to help me get this going better? You know, because
yeah.
when you learn how to put your marketer to work, you learn how to put your web developer to work, you learn how to put your other resources to work. You give them opportunity to do things. You
yep.
you create jobs for them. Like, you create an ability for them to be their best. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, I totally yeah totally. Hey, look at it this way. If I listened to the previous guy I had who did the web work and told me a podcast was a waste of time, you and I wouldn't be talking right now, spreading this information, which helps people so much. And
dude, you
this,
know what? You want to hear something funny? I don't know if I told you this or not before, but I had an arm wrestler come to me because he listened to this podcast and found me here in Springfield and came and worked with me.
That's awesome, dude.
I forgot to tell you that last time.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
Eric,
awesome, man.
There's a kid who lives in
oh,
my town who was listening
yep.
to the Motivation and Muscle podcast, and
he
listened to the one that you and me talked about two podcasts ago, and he found
yep.
me and started arm
yep.
wrestling with me. I
is
couldn't
that
believe
awesome
it.
Or what?
Yeah,
that
dude, I forgot
awesome,
to tell you that.
Dude.
Yeah, dude, it is
that,
awesome. See,
but isn't that what that's what it's all about?
Yes.
See, and it's like you know, I told you before the show started, we did in the month of October over 2,700 more downloads. I couldn't be prouder of that. I mean, this show in a year, I never envisioned the growth that we've had, but we've caught people now that are looking for something like this, that are looking for not only training advice and tips, but they're looking for something that when they're driving home after they basically have been kicked in the balls all day at work are like, I want to listen to something that's positive. I want to listen
yeah.
to something. And I listen to it, it makes me maybe want to bend my steering wheel in half. At,
yeah,
at the
get
next
fired up. You want to get people
exactly.
fired up for life.
Hey, look,
you know?
I told you, there was one guy that called me, Dr. Jeffrey Smith. He just did a show with me, and it was incredible. He told me one night he was driving along. Now, he works nights at the hospital. He's an internal internal medicine. And he said one night, he said it happened a couple times. He said what happened to him when he got home, he had to train because he couldn't go to bed. He couldn't shut down after listening to the show. And he said one night, though, I don't know what we were doing. He said, you cracked some funny-ass thing. He said, I was laughing so hard I almost drove off the road one night. I mean, you know, I don't want anybody getting killed. You know what I'm saying? But see, that what we're doing here is magnificent, because what we're doing here is – we have created a family here. Like, I call everybody whenever I put anything out now, and with all these new emails I'm doing for the products, I call everybody the Fiorello Barbell family. And I mean that sincerely, because I've been saying that since the beginning, especially when I'll say at the end of the show, you know, I don't care if you lift a 450-pound stone or 150-pound stone. You have something to offer. You're always welcome at my table, because I've had more – then one person tell me, they've called me, they text me, they've gotten hold of me through email, said this: when I listen to your shows, I swear we're in the same room together talking. Now, how much more can you ask for? You know, like when Russell Furr says to me, I listen to your shows, I swear to God, there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. All right?
Yeah,
this
man,
is the,
right on.
Dude, this is the shit we're about. When you're talking about arm wrestling and I'm asking you, okay, what do you do? If someone's listening right now and said, you know what, I've been wanting to do that. It's the same way like when we talk about entrepreneurship. They're sitting on the fence, and all they need is us to give them that little nudge, and guess what? They're on their way. Do you realize what we're doing? We're changing the world. We're changing people. Instead of people concentrating on what's going on all through the world where they can't control it, all you can do is learn how to do things, control yourself, try to be mentors for people, try to do the right thing, be the best you can be, all right? If you do that and you lead by example, everybody around you is going to be that way, and you make a stronger group of people like that. But this is what I've wanted to do with this from the beginning. I'm very pleased with it, not satisfied. Obviously, we're getting bigger and bigger. More and more big. I mean, we just had Matt Vincent on the other day. I mean, we are getting a charge of people, whether I go out after them or they come to me now. That's incredible. And you know something? We ain't changing, man. If anything, we're going to stack the fucking pile of wood up higher, and we're going after
that's
it.
That's the only option.
Exactly. And you know something? If we can get this out more and more and more, we're doing some stuff right now with the podcast where there's these plugins that work in WordPress that will exponentially get this show into more and more markets. That's what it does. It's a pretty expensive piece of software, but it was worth the money because here's the deal. The more we can get out there, the more sponsorship we get, the more we move product. Obviously, I'm going to be able to do a lot more. I've got five products.
Yes, you'll be able to help more people. That's what it's all about.
And I need the money because, in case anybody doesn't know, I have no sponsorship for Iceland. That's going to be an expensive one, even though we're going to do it in the off season. And if things go to my calculations, we'll be in Scotland this time next year.
Right.
So I've got a lot of things going, and I don't like saying a lot of it because then people say, well, you didn't do it. Well, I just want everybody to know right now we are trying to build a lot of currency for the business. I usually don't get into the personal ends of things, but that's what we're doing right now. And to do this stuff, Will can attest to it. It costs a lot of money to travel. It costs a lot of money to operate a gym. It costs a lot of money to run Motivation and Muscle and Fiorella Barbell Company. You're not seeing behind the scenes. This is stuff that when we end up putting these things out, and there's some things I want to talk with Will offline that I'd like to talk to him about running. You know, maybe there's something he and I will do too, I hope, down the road. You know, I want to tell people this stuff. I want to tell you that there's a lot of stuff that's going on behind the scenes that you need to know about. That, great, go into a business, but don't think it's going to all be sunshine and rainbows because it's going to be pretty rough, man.
Yeah,
but here's,
it's very hard.
It's very hard, but here's the thing, man. What is better than getting up and doing something you love to do?
But here's the thing. You're going to work anyway. So you're either going to deal with going to work and it being hard because you hate it, or you're going to go to work and it's hard because you love it, but it's hard because you got to figure out how to make it work.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's like the pain of progress versus the pain of regression. You're always going to deal with some form of pain or discomfort. You just choose if this pain and discomfort helping you to become better, or is it making you worse?
Yep, I agree. Will, why don't you, if you want to summarize anything, give all your information. I'll give mine, and then just stand in line for a moment, and we'll sign off for today.
Sure, yeah. I feel like to summarize this Cultivating Your Dream podcast that we've been working on the last couple of months is you just got to stay the course. You know, you got to do whatever it takes to keep yourself going. You got to believe in yourself, and believing in yourself is hard. So it takes the same amount of effort to work on your mind that it does to work on your body. So when you go to the gym and you spend 2 hours building your muscles up, you got to also be putting things in your mind that's going to build your mind up. So you got to be listening to the right kind of around the right kind of people and listening to the right kind of messages. So that's why I listen to so many motivational speakers and positive videos it keeps me on track. It keeps me believing that, yes, this is going to happen. Yes, you became a champion and you're going to go further. The reason why you became a champion is because you never stop believing in yourself. You have to remind yourself these things. The reason why that kid is able to deadlift 270 now is because he didn't stop believing that he could when you guys were encouraging him. From a start point, and so he's going to go further. And so it's the same thing with other people. If you want good things to happen to you, you also got to be willing to do good things for other people. And so keep encouraging others the way you would encourage yourself to improve. And you just got to stay, you got to do whatever it takes to keep yourself going. And listening, like I said, listening to motivational speakers, being around motivational people, positive people, that is what's going to help you become the best that you can be.
Without a doubt. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see him the week before Christmas crush that 300-pound pole. I mean, that is going to be so damn big, because when I think about it, he came here with nothing. And, you know, 6-7 months later, the guy's thrashing 300 off the ground at 14 years old. I know others have done more, but this is my boy here. And it's like,
yeah.
He's going to get everything we got here and some. And the nice thing is,
he could be the next world's strongest man.
We don't know.
How far a person can go, you know?
Well, think about this. Think about yourself at 14 and me too. You know, I'm not saying I'm the best in the world. I'm good. I can do some shit. I know some shit. Just think if you had the opportunity to train with somebody like that at 14 all winter.
Wow. And you just like, and gonna, just like the wow, I don't know how much even further I could have gone, but Yeah, you're right. Yeah, wow. I just think, wow, that's a great gift for him.
Yeah, and you know what? He's going to be doing contest prep with me the whole time, because that's what I'm going to be training for to go away. And, you know, obviously he won't be weighing 154 anymore. I'm hoping I'm going to have him up to at least 180 by May, because, you know, we'll go on some heavy-duty calories at that point, but do it the smart way. And he's not going to have any choice, because the way we're going to train, especially with the stones, and we're going to be outdoors all winter, that's going to force your body to eat right there, because your body's going to have to get thicker and stronger. Mm-hmm. And it's you know something?
This kid, I can't wait to see what he's like when he's 18, when he starts becoming a man. I can't believe to have the start that he has now with you. I'm excited to see this unfold over the next few years.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I was just going to say that. I know how excited he is, but you know how excited I am. You know, I got news for people out there. Don't think that you're ever above ripping energy off these kids, because I'm telling you right now, he inspires me. I mean, to see, I'm kind of like living my life again vicariously.
Yes, him. Eric, I totally agree with that. You know, just as much as I inspire my clients, they also give me energy that inspires me also. They inspire me to want to become better. Just as much as I inspire them to want to become better.
Isn't that a great thing,
it
man?
Is.
I mean,
it's synergistic.
Yep.
The energy is synergistic.
So we're blessed.
You give and then they give. And then it's like you both get from that. You both are rewarded for that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Will. Lifting has been the best thing besides my parents and all that in my life. You know, I mean, I watched what they lived through with Jimmy. And I have a very deep appreciation for health and strength, more than probably most people do, because most people have never been in that situation. And, you know, to be able to give this kid something, he's got great parents and they support him. I mean, you know, they bring him everywhere. I mean, a lot of parents wouldn't do that for you. And, mm-hmm. To see this kid succeed, he's succeeded further than I ever thought he would at this point. Just because of his personality was a big thing, and we've gotten by that, and here we go. Why don't you give out all your information? I'll give mine, and then we'll sign off, please.
Sure, yeah. Okay, my name is Will Dinwiddie. My gym is Epic Fitness Solutions. That's my website also, Epic Fitness Solutions. I have a Facebook Will Dinwiddie page and a Epic Fitness Solutions Facebook page where you can check it out and learn a little bit more about what it is that I do here in Oregon. So.
It's awesome. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We want people, we're looking for this big time. You know, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Leave us comments on the show. Leave us some comments on what Will and I said today. We're very interested. We want to see, is there anything else you want? Is there things you like, you don't like? But I'm going to be a guy that's just going to tell you, we're pushing forward, and that's just the way it is. We've got a certain way we like to do things, and I think everybody that's associated with the show and listening to it loves it. You know, as I said, there was a person that said to me one time, when you make it, I said, well, we've already made it. Well, when you make it, are you going to tone the show down? This show will probably
last.
That's
what's going to make it.
Absolutely, man. Look at Will. We ain't toning down, okay? I got news for you. If anything, we're going to probably amp it even more.
Well,
because
yeah, we're going to blow it through the roof.
That's the idea. So, you know, that person no longer really is associated with the show anymore because I don't want that around me, whether they're 1,000 miles away or they live next door. That's not – that type of attitude comes with them. I don't want any of that. I'm not digging your ass up to prop you up. You come on the show and get ready to pop me in the head. That's the way it is.
We're reaching for the stars, baby.
Yeah, we're out. We're demolition. That's what we are. So, you know what I mean? So anybody does that, go out to iTunes and Stitcher and write us a 5-star review. We've got plenty of them. I thank everybody for that. Don't forget, we're going to be over 1 million strong, and I mean that. We are just growing exponentially. I thank everybody for that. You know, it's important. You know, I said this to Will just a little while ago. Be part of the Fiorella Barbell Company family. This is no shit. We are a community, man, and we are building bigger and bigger. We don't care. Look, what happens outside, a lot of us understand that, but I'm of the philosophy of this. Not only do I talk about things that I thought about as a kid sitting at that table, but look, when you get out of work or you've had a rough day or maybe you had a fight with your wife or your girlfriend or your kids are just driving you insane, man, you put this thing on and it's like suddenly life goes back into the way you want it. Like everything seems like it's notching down perfectly and you're like, you know what? It isn't so bad. And you know what? I'm going to go out maybe tonight. Maybe all I'm going to do is squat and I got to go back in the house. But you know what? I get it done. This is the whole idea behind us. And we're just going to keep growing, giving more information. Come on in with us. Give us things you want us to do. If there's a show you'd like Will and I to do specifically, go out to Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And, you know, let us know. We want you to get involved. We're not just here telling you everything. Get involved with us. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you like. You know, tell us a story. If there's something you like, I can always bring a person in with Will and I, and we can do a three-way show. We can do anything here, all right? That's the way
we
look at it.
That's right. We can do anything.
Right? We can do anything. And you know what? Most of all, do not take your health for granted, all right? As you all know, my brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy. It's very important. You know, I have things happen. It's like, you know something, this is nothing compared to what he lived through in a wheelchair. But you know something, I'm going to leave you with this. I never not saw a smile on his face, and I know life had to be pretty difficult for him when you know that you're not going to be around for a long time. But that's the special thing about people like that. They take what they've got, and they live it, and they love it, and they enjoy it. And he had so much support and love around him, and my parents were fabulous. It's like, go out and make a difference. And I'll leave you with these four things. You know, if you see somebody in the gym or somebody seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them your time. You know, that's what Will and I keep talking about. It's like, is it that hard to say something nice to somebody or say, hey, you know, maybe you need, like he was talking with Mark, maybe you need to position the stone at 45 degrees and bam, it comes right off the floor. It's things like that that make the change. You think it's nothing? It's the world to them. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a hello. That might be all they get for the day. Look at the amount of people walking with their head down now. You say hello to them and they're like, huh? Look it. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Let's go out and be stewards of strength, man. Show people what you got. Thirdly, go out and lift some big iron, take some stones and turn them into dust. Fourth, like the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, we are domination, and I got news for you. Nobody will ever clip our balls, and as our good friend Russell Fur says, your show is like testosterone dripping out of my speaker. So I love it. Will, thanks for being on the show, brother. Another classic show.
Thanks, Eric. It was a pleasure, man. I have a great time.
Same here. Anytime. For Will Dinwiddie, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. And Will will be on next month, and Will is going to be going on with us monthly right into 2016. And I'll let everybody know, we're booked already to the middle of April. This is big, man. So come along with us, tell a friend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.